flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You ready to blow up the Bruins, Keith?
I have been ready to blow up the Bruins, Jones. It is time. It is overdue, perhaps. But, you know, no time like the present. Are they going to pull themselves out of this?
No.
Make the playoffs and go on a run in the playoffs?
Are you?
Who
asking?
Sees that? Does anybody see that?
Well, Razor.
Yeah, of course.
Not me.
Razor's still got to win the cup, actually. I heard that yesterday. I was like, wait a minute, what? They're going to win the cup?
Yeah, what a stupid question. Time to blow up the bees. Of course, for you. You're ready to blow them up.
And I am as well.
Yeah.
Rough result last night.
I've seen enough.
They get back into it 2-2 early in the third with Marchand in the penalty box. I think he spent the whole game in the penalty box last night, if I'm not mistaken.
He's been finding himself in there quite a bit.
It was 3 infractions, including one to start the period. Bruins even it up on a shorthanded goal, 2-2. And before you could even blink.
I thought we had a game. I was like, oh, smokes.
Before you could even blink on the power play, 3-2, gets away from him in the third period, as it tends to do.
It's over.
Yeah.
And that is...
Fire Don Sweeney chance
that
as
is
well.
How it, more Fire Don Sweeney chance in the building, a building where the Bruins have been playing well at
Well, that's
home.
The thing. They have been good at home. Like, all these losses that were piling up were mostly road games. You're like, all right, they're getting points. Now, you know Winnipeg's a really good team. But still, like, so what did they get outscored this year?
In the two Winnipeg games?
Was it 14-3?
Yes.
All right, so they don't have it against Winnipeg.
It was 8-1.
I think it was 8-1 and now 6-2.
Yeah,
so they don't have it. It's not a good matchup for them, evidently.
That is not going to be a good cup final for them, should they get there.
Hopefully you avoid Winnipeg. Hopefully somebody else knocks off Winnipeg. Then you skate to the cup.
When you're skating for the cup, you do not want to see Winnipeg out there when the Bruins get there.
Well, it's funny. So the trade deadline sounds like it's a long ways away, March 7th. You're like, oh, that's, you know, got a whole month. Although it is the shortest month of the year, Jones.
It's true.
Every year.
It's not a leap year?
Even when it is still shorter than every other month.
That's true.
But I think they have like 10, 11 games between now and the deadline. So even though it's over a month on the calendar, because they have the long break for the Four Nations Cup, that's like at least a 2-week break. So there's no NHL games. I know there's like a freeze and everything else, but trades are getting done around the league. So I don't really know what they're waiting for. Like, do they really think, they being like Sweeney, Neely, the Jacobs, like, do they really think like, no, we have it. We just need to get healthy, and you know we're gonna turn it around. I feel like it's enough of a sample. Like, they have played, what is it? Was that their 53rd game last night? I think it was.
Yeah, it might even be
maybe more.
Might even be more.
They played
more than every other team in the league.
That is true.
That is 53. You're right.
All right, so they've played 53 games. I feel like we've seen enough. They have issues. I think it's a combination of things. I still am more of the they have underachieving players than the they just have bad players. And I know that's what a lot of people are saying. We get more complaints about Sweeney and Neely than we do the actual players.
Well,
I,
and again,
I personally think more guys are underachieving.
The crowd there last night was all over Sweeney. So I think that's representative of how a lot of fans feel.
Yep.
But yeah, maybe it's not. Maybe it's their rosters. Maybe not as good as we think, but
no,
the roster,
not.
I don't think, is a massive problem. The players are underachieving. And when I say a massive problem, they should be a playoff team with this roster is what I mean.
Yes.
Not the best team in the league.
Yeah.
Maybe not even sniffing Winnipeg. But they should be a playoff team with this roster.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who thinks that's not the case is crazy. But I think the real issue's in the room, and you continue to see that over and over and over again with this team. Why are guys underachieving?
Nah, they're all good.
Why are guys underachieving? Because there's something going on there. Maybe, just maybe, it has to do with Swayman and his holdout. Players didn't like it. Marchand was all prickly about that contract way back when.
There was definitely a after effects to that. One, Swayman obviously didn't start the season really sharp himself. But I do think a lot of guys in there were kind of looking at him side-eyed. I mean, Marchand point blank said it. Like, to the public. He's like, you don't talk about contracts in the media or whatever. He's like, well, Swayman is.
He came out and said it. The former coach was shoving Marchand, benching Pastrnak. He got his ass fired, which again speaks to something going on in there with the players. And then on top of that, you have what I believe, what you believe, you know. And I think a lot of people with a brain out there believe your report is right, that there's something going on with Marchand and Pastrnak.
They get the head coach fired, and then he is hired the next day. So it's not like, oh, what an awful coach he is. It's like, nope, he was the scapegoat. And for a minute, it looked like they maybe turned it around. I think it had more to do with the schedule. It was like a really, it was good timing for Joe Sacco to take over the job then, because you're like, hey, maybe things are going all right. And then you start to face some other competition. You hit the road and all that. And then you kind of come crashing back down to earth. And I mean, yeah, I mean, mathematically, they're still in the playoff race and all that. But I think if you want to plan this thing ahead, like they wake up today, not only outside of the playoffs, but to your point, everybody else has played fewer games. So even if those teams lose those two or three extra games, you're out of it. Let alone if they win or even just get loser points, like they're going to start to really distance themselves.
You're already trailing them. And once the games start to level out, the game's out of hand.
Out of hand.
Come back to bite the Bruins. That's going to be a problem. Clappy Cheeks 10, Keith.
One of the good Twitch listeners.
You can check out the full chat on Twitch.
Yeah.
But Clappy Cheeks 10, I definitely believe they're more underachieving than just not overall talented enough.
That's me. I agree with that as well.
I do too. But now, so answer the next part of the question. We just did. But ask yourself that. If you're like Clappy Cheeks 10 out there.
Sure. And many of you might be.
You might be. Yeah. Ask yourself, if you think they're underachieving, they are. If you think they're underachieving, ask yourself why. Everybody just randomly is having a bad year? I mean, I guess that's possible. That doesn't seem likely. That's not probable to me.
Maybe a bad captain?
Yeah. Well, you know,
it's just, I said maybe.
You
I don't
said
know
it,
what
not
it is.
Me. Yeah, that's my guy, Brad Marchand. How dare you?
You love him,
but why are they underachieving?
Something going on in the dressing
room.
Isn't
that the simplest answer?
I would think so.
I mean,
they didn't all forget how to play.
I don't know it to be right. I believe you, but I'm not in there. I guess I don't know. But if you're asking me to figure out why everybody on the team is underachieving, even Pastrnak, who's picked up his play, he's still underachieving as a whole. This year. Why are they all underachieving? Because something's off with the team. Why'd they fire their coach? Because something's going on within the team. It's not just a bad roster. The roster might not be as good as me and Keith believe it
to be. But it's one of the eight best rosters in the Eastern Conference.
It should be a playoff team.
Yeah, thank you.
That's that guy. Joe Sacco every day.
Does he want to just like not show up, maybe?
This is kind of what I do some days when I get home from work. I sit in my car by myself, and I just do one of those. Before I walk back into my house, I'm like,
It's like time to
deal with whatever's going on in here.
That's about Sam.
You don't know what you're walking into.
That was the text line one more time to the Bruins, actually.
About Sam.
A texter said that to the Bruins, which I agree with. So you can jump in all day long here on Jones and Keefe. We're not just going to talk Bruins today, but a lot of Bruins on the show. 617-779-7937. That's the text number as well. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Follow along, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can watch there. You can chat with Clappy Cheeks 10 there. And you can watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Again, it is Jones and the wrongfully accused Rich Keefe. I'm happy that...
I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm happy you've lawyered up over there.
Yeah, because it was really the same week where Brad Marchand called for my job, and then Courtney Cox essentially called for my job. I don't want to put words in her mouth, but was...
Yeah, that's basically what she did, though.
Throwing around a lot of accusations, and long story short, I have obtained legal representation. So next week, Alan Jackson, who represents Karen Reed and others...
The country artist.
No. The defense attorney.
Oh, okay.
The world-renowned defense attorney.
Way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, I think.
Different guy.
Yeah.
Two Alan Jacksons. Okay. Both great in their own right.
Okay.
So, representing Karen Reed, as well as many others, and now add my name to the list. So we're going to finally get to the bottom of this energy drink fiasco.
I might even
countersue for defamation. I'm not sure yet. We're just going to see how this goes. I can't say too much, as you can imagine, Jones.
Yeah, I don't want to pry. I don't want
I really can't.
Expose anything in the case.
So next Wednesday...
Any legal... I don't even want to call them legal tactics. Just facts will be brought to the table by a professional lawyer.
So Wednesday. On Wednesday, a professional lawyer is going to speak on my behalf. He's going to question Courtney Cox.
Yeah.
The plaintiff.
Yeah,
because I'm the defendant.
Yeah.
So somebody in the Twitch chat is asking, am I suing? No, not yet.
Right.
But we shall see.
Yeah, well, we'll see what goes with the criminal case, and then maybe we'll take this to civil court.
And then I want you guys as well, because obviously I'm very much tied into it, but you guys as well. I think Greg, Wiggy, Shime, and Curtis might be like the judge and sort of like...
The jury?
Or maybe the jury. Well, I know, but they're also going to be the... I don't know who the judge is.
Good point.
But they're going to hear the case.
I'd let Jackson be the judge.
Maybe Jackson will be.
Judge Jackson.
Get him in a little gown.
That actually might already be a show.
Judge Jackson.
Sounds like a show.
Yeah. It could be. It's Judge. Judge Reinhold.
My name is Judge.
Judge.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's on Wednesday. So we finally put this to bed. Right? We can end it once and for all. I still get chirped about it here and there.
I'd hope.
Yeah.
Well, so that's good to know. Mm-hmm. The wrongfully accused Rich Keefe. Here on Jones and Keefe today.
I'm glad you see it that way.
We're going to get to the bottom of it. Look, you're innocent until proven guilty in this country, Keefe.
Thank you.
I respect our legal system here in this great country of ours.
Sadly, Jones, many cases it's the opposite.
It is.
You're guilty until proven innocent.
Not to lump you in with this individual, but I heard Jabril Peppers whining about this very thing. And so,
he ended up being on the right side of it, right?
Well.
Peppers?
Yeah.
Seemed like it.
Yeah.
Juju Smith-Schuster as well, also involved. Playing in Super Bowls, being in love triangles. A lot going on in that case.
That is true. Yeah. So you can jump in here all day long on the bees. Let me ask what might sound like, on its surface, Keefe, an odd question.
Please.
I think we all agree. You and I know, agree. I think most of you out there agree with this as well. Let me know if I'm wrong. I think we all agree that a move would be best for the Bruins on some level.
Yeah.
Is it crazy to think about the Bruins buying as opposed to blowing it up, as we framed it off the top of the show, selling Marchand, Frederick, Morgan Geeky, players like this. Like, I don't even know what you have that people want.
Yeah.
Is it crazy to look at it the other way and say, okay, they are not that far out of the playoffs. Is it crazy to think about this team is buying? If we can all agree they need to make a move, is it crazy to consider buying?
So if you're buying, I guess, what are you giving up in order to buy? Is it once again take our first round pick, and then once again we can have the worst minor league depth chart, or the worst prospect pool in all of hockey, because we're taking another run at it? Like, there are plenty of years to make a run at it, and the Bruins have done it for the most part. Like, one thing you can say about Don Sweeney, and I know he's not the most popular guy in the world right now, but look back at recent trade deadlines.
He's done well.
He's been aggressive and usually done pretty well. Now, some of those guys, you know, were rentals and they were good, and then they were gone, and you're like, you didn't win it, and, you know, there goes Tyler Bertuzzi or Snarls or all these other guys, but I think he's been pretty aggressive and he's been pretty good. But then when you wonder why you don't have a lot of great young talent and you don't have a pipeline coming up, that's one of the main reasons. So I personally don't think this team is good enough to buy. But to your point, I mean, you are 1 point out of a playoff spot. So, I mean, in years past, the Red Sox have been in a similar spot. And we've been sort of screaming, like, at least pick a direction.
Right.
Right? At least pick one. Yeah, like, I don't want to ride it out
with this crappy team and miss the playoffs by a point and not sell for assets or buy to get into the playoffs. Don't do that.
So I guess that's where I would come down, is like, I think they should sell. I think they should try to blow it up the best they can and like retool. Retool actually is better than blow up. Retool is what Cam Neely said.
Yes.
But I'd go that. Then I guess, by then that weird middle ground where you don't really, you make like a one minor move. Like, what's the point of making one minor move? Like, this is a good opportunity to really make a change.
It's important for them to pick a lane. I totally agree with that. Meanwhile, one name that comes up a lot, I know some people don't even want to be asked about. I mean, don't even think about asking certain people about trading this individual. It's insulting to even ask.
Can't do it.
But Brad Marchand, your name is out there in the news about getting dealt. He was asked about those trade rumors after the game. I think, how was Greg referring to him this morning?
I think Sad Marchand.
Sad Marchand is how he was referring to him. Let's hear from Marshy.
I'm not really worried about what's being said in the media. You know, at the end of the day, like I said, they're going to make the decisions for the group that they feel is necessary. You know, I have no control over that, so going to worry about what's going on here and you know, play for this group. And, you know, as long as I'm here, I'm busting around, that's what I'm worried about.
Doesn't sound like a guy who thinks he's sticking around.
Better rivalry right now, Marchand v. Media or Keefe v. Cox?
Oh, I think I'm going Keefe v. Cox.
Yeah. Better rivalry. But Marchand's steaming about it, though.
Right on their tail.
It is pretty, you know what I would use, Jones?
Yes.
Melancholy. Melancholy Marchand.
Good word.
He is having a little bit of a sad right now.
Sad Marchand is snappier, but it's good.
It's snappier, thankfully, because his name's Brad. But if you like the alliteration that pops, it's Melancholy Marchand. Uh-huh. But yeah, he's definitely having a little bit of sad. He's not going to worry about what's being said out there. But, you know, as much as some local guys might want to poo-poo the idea of trading Marchand, if you have somebody like Elliot Freeman suggesting that it could happen, like, that's something. Like, you know,
call me crazy. I'd side with Elliot Friedman over every local reporter except for one, Rich Keefe.
Thank you.
Other than that, I don't really know any of their track records out there and respect any of their track records. I'd side with Friedman, who thinks the Bruins could look at moving him.
Well, I still haven't gotten a good reason why it's crazy to trade him. Maybe you don't find, like, maybe you find out you're not really getting much for him and you don't want to just give him away. That's one thing. But if you're not a playoff team, and you have a guy in his mid-30s who is not signed for next year, what's the reason to definitely hang on to him?
Yeah, so I feel that way. And by the way, Marchand is like, it's just up to them, whatever they decide. He's got a no-movement clause for 8 teams.
I was going to say, it's limited. Like, it's 8.
So that, to me, caught my ear, too. He's like, well, it's just up to them and whatever they decide. Like, I just work here, basically.
Has somebody asked would he waive his no-trade clause?
Good question. Probably not.
No. Because it's so crazy to even suggest that he would be traded.
Let me ask you a question. Does anybody down there do their jobs?
No.
And so, I would imagine that no one's asked about him waiving his no movement clause.
Most likely not.
It's a modified no trade clause, 8 teams on the list. So that's a weird answer for a guy who has a lot of control over his situation, as most of them do on the Bruins.
Yeah.
That's an odd answer. So who are you moving? Are you trying to add to this team to make a run? I think we agree they need to make a move. Would they buy? I wouldn't. Would you sell? And if you're selling, who would you move? Would you move a player like Brad Marchand? Would you think bigger than that? Because let's face it, I think that's a relatively easy call. Would you think bigger than that? The Bruins have David Pastrnak, Jeremy Swayman, Charlie McAvoy. Like, if you really, really, really wanted to make a significant change, those are names you could look to. So what's wrong with the Bruins? How do you fix it? You can jump in all day long here on Jones and the wrongfully accused Rich Keefe.
Thank you.
617-779-7937. Billy Lanny has all the latest in trending. And when we come back, I think we're curious to hear what the Razor had to say.
Yeah.
About trading Brad Marchand. We'll do that with all your Bruins phone calls next.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Gray Bar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Andrew Raycroft, the Razor. Now on WEEI Afternoons.
He sure is. Some have said he's too critical of the team, which I push back on. I think he's pretty fair. Good breakdown there. No chance, less than zero chance you trade Brad Marchand, and they got a run in him. This team is going to go on a little bit of a run, which I think most of us could see. You know, you watch that third period last night, you're like, this team's going to turn it around.
This team's pretty good.
This
team's on to something.
This team's pretty good. They got their coach fired. Everybody is having career lows, and they're currently out of the playoffs, even though they've played more games than everybody. I see it too, Andrew.
Yeah.
He's on it.
I feel a little bit, but you can see it in there.
It's going to be a real loss for us not to talk to him on a weekly basis. This is crushing.
So that is a...
I feel terrible, but I'm locked in.
Thursdays at 4:30.
Yeah, is what that is.
Yeah, so don't miss it.
That is really good.
We have Greg calling him Sad Marchand.
Yes.
What was your nickname for Marchand?
Melancholy Marchand.
Melancholy Marchand.
I like alliteration. I think it pops.
It's good.
Sad Marchand's really good.
I'm going to give the edge, Keith, no disrespect, to Sad Marchand.
What about on the text line?
Good suggestion on the text line, yeah.
Melancholy and the infinite Bradness, which we just gave you a little taste on the way back. Smashing Pumpkins.
Damn it, that's good.
Not to go down this avenue.
Yeah.
The Billy Corgan, Bill Burr.
Okay.
Conspiracy.
Are you
theory.
Aware
Billy,
of this,
Billy, are you in on this? Have you seen this on Twitter?
I have 100% seen it.
Okay.
And now I can't unsee it because now I see Billy Corgan and I'm I can see Bill Burr.
They look exactly alike. Right. I mean, that is true. And so I actually read about that before watching the clip, maybe like a day in advance. I'm like, this sounds like a bit or like a bad joke or whatever.
I don't know.
I watched the clip and I'm like, no.
So I was in the same boat. I'm like, this has to be some kind of bit, some kind of setup. But like when Billy Corgan came out, you could see Bill Burr. Like, he started, like, rubbing the arms of the chair.
Well, and he's
could
like,
tell, like, he was having some kind of reaction.
It was Howie Mandel
calling
show?
Calling Howie Mandel a mother effer.
Not
happy about it. Yeah.
This is when Bill Burr went to Billy Corgan. He goes, I haven't talked about this ever.
Yeah.
Why would you ever talk
about
it?
Like, that's not funny.
If I didn't bring it up, why would you ever talk about it?
That's not a funny thing. I mean, maybe it's a long play and you're adding to the bit, but, like, that's not a funny thing to say.
So basically, for those that don't know what we're talking about, there's a conspiracy out there, and these two guys were even talking about it, that Bill Burr and Billy Corgan have the same father.
Mm-hmm.
They look a lot alike. They're both named Bill.
Well, that's what he said.
Bill's like, oh, how great is that? Like, we named one Billy, one Bill.
Yeah. And he's like, at least it's Billy and Bill. And then Billy Corgan's like, well, I was a Bill as a kid, too. And it's like, what a dirtbag my dad was. Yeah.
How crazy is that? Yeah. Like, maybe his dad was perhaps not the most faithful, is what it sounds like, in different towns and things like that. Now you have these two sons that are both incredibly famous. But yeah, it was real awkward between the two of them.
Yeah, very awkward.
But anyway, that is the melancholy and the infinite Bradness.
Well, I think we have a winner. Like, Sad Marchand's really, really good. Melancholy Marchand is good.
Yeah.
And then Melancholy and the Infinite Bradness, score one for the text line.
He's having a tough go. I wonder if he would turn down a trade. Would he veto a trade if one of those eight, I don't know who the eight teams on his list are.
Me neither.
They might be all eight crap bag teams that wouldn't, you know, be interested anyway. But you'd think a team that's trying to go on a run, like, this looks like that's the kind of guy you would add at the deadline.
Well, I would hope. I like to think of, despite him stepping in it here, in my opinion, the last month or so, I like to think he's a competitive guy and would want to go win. I like to think that, but would he turn down, like, no one typically wants to play in Winnipeg, right? I mean, they're very good. They're a good team.
Right. They're a wagon this year.
So
but
I wouldn't be surprised if going into the year, because I think you set this in the offseason, going into the year, Winnipeg's on your no movement list. So would he up and leave Boston, where he's been for a long time and maybe wants to finish his career? Would he turn down a trade to a place like Winnipeg, for instance, where a lot of guys don't want to play?
Mm-hmm.
Would he turn down that trade to not go try to win a cup? Like, I'd be even more disappointed in him than I have been the last month, my guy Brad Marchand.
Also, like, to play it one step further, do you think next year, and we don't really know who's going to be in charge of the Bruins, to be honest. I would say Sweeney and Neely are kind of on the hot seat.
Zdeno Chara.
Might be Big Z.
No, not yet, but it seems like there could be a longer play there.
But is there a 100% chance that they sign Brad Marchand to an extension this offseason?
No.
Okay, so right there, I agree with that. So right there, it's like you need to consider trading him. Otherwise, you keep him all year, then you miss the playoffs, and then he goes and signs with somebody else anyway? Like, what is that?
So Razor says, in no world do you trade him. I say you trade him.
Oh, you can't trade a captain.
Yeah.
It's never happened before in hockey.
Well, definitely not with the Bruins.
Right.
So so Razor says don't trade him. I say trade him. Keith, why don't you break that tie?
I say trade him.
Okay.
I say trade him.
Sorry, Razor, you lose.
Mm.
You've been outvoted?
Yep.
Sorry about that. So
he was probably like, you guys aren't supposed to ask me about this. I don't want to have to answer this question.
Beyond Brad Marchand, which I think is an obvious one to move.
Yep.
Would you think bigger than that? Would you think Pastrnak, McAvoy, Swayman? I heard some of this discussion today on the Greg Hill show. Wiggy was in favor of it. Scheim was really shooting it down. Would you think of moving any of those three guys? At not longer term, but at this deadline specifically?
No. So that's where I would draw the line. I think they have three untradeable players. You just signed Swayman after all of that, right? It was a lot going on. It was more contentious than I'm sure both sides wanted it to get. But you have Jeremy Swayman locked up. He's 26 years old. You have Charlie McAvoy locked up long-term. He's 27. And you have David Pastrnak locked up long-term. He's 28. Mm-hmm. I'm keeping those three guys and trying to figure out sort of a newer core around them. You know, try to build it up with those guys
so
in place.
So I would have moved them at the deadline. I agree with you on that. Come the offseason, depending on how this finishes, I would consider it. If you were going to move one of those three, Swayman, Pastrnak, McAvoy, who would you move?
Swayman. Yeah, I think it would be Swayman only because
I think the one to move is Pastrnak just because, number one, he seems like he might be a bit of a problem. And number two, you wouldn't be selling low. You'd be selling low on McAvoy. You'd be selling really low on Swayman. And
yeah,
I think
you'd
have to figure out a way to get Brady Tkachuk or somebody like that, like something high level like that where you're swapping our guy for your guy.
Right.
And that's the kind of move you'd need to look at. But
yeah.
I think that's the guy I would
really
move out of the three.
I just think there's not too many.
There aren't.
50 goal.
There definitely aren't.
60 goal caliber scores in the league. So I would keep him, try to find a way to get a really good center to play with him.
What do you think you get for Swayman these days?
It's a good question. I just think that the replacement for Swayman can probably do closer to Swayman's production than a replacement for Pastrnak or McAvoy.
I wholeheartedly agree with that.
That's the only reason I'm going there. And you and I were both of the sign Swayman. I don't even hate the high-priced goalie. I'm not really anti that. But I was also expecting a lot more from Swayman. And maybe next year he turns it around. Maybe next year he goes on this unbelievable run. He looks like a top-five goalie. And we're like, phew, that's the guy that they signed. But Korpisalo was one of the worst goalies in the NHL last year. He's not terrible.
No.
No, I don't want him for 50 games. But, like, he's not terrible. So do you need to invest $8.25 million in your goalie, or could you invest $6 and then spend it elsewhere?
There's no good answer with this team, is the point. And so who would you move, and would you consider buying if you're the Bruins? They are even with the games out of hand.
Yeah, some might.
They're barely out of the postseason, so we'll allow for that as well. 6-1-7.
I mean, Nesson Insider, Raycroft would probably want to buy for
this
team.
We can ask him next week.
He thinks they're going to go on a run as is.
Yeah, we can't ask him next week, actually. EEI Afternoon's going to ask him.
Maybe Hart can ask him.
Yeah. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. We'll get to Zdeno Chara. Why is he here? Coming up in a moment as well. Mark's in Medford. Get us started today, Mark.
Whatever Rays are smoking, I want. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Let's be realistic here, guys. Okay. After tomorrow, after they lose to the Rangers tomorrow afternoon, there will only be 28 games left in this season. How much better you think they're going to get if they make a trade now? I say, pack it up. Do what you got to do with the trade deadline. Maybe you can sign someone long-term after that if you get hockey.
I like that idea. You know, heads out of your asses to start next year.
It just feels like it's a lost season. Like, the room's been so bad all year, from firing the coach to where they're at now. It just feel like a lost season in that way, and you hope you start over again with a new coach and a fresh start, and
so
hopefully a different roster next
year. I was
going
to say, if you look at three of the more important positions, like outside of the Jacobs ownership and even Cam, if people want to talk about Cam, we can get to that point, but Sweeney, Sacco, Marchand. So your GM, your head coach, and your captain, next year to start the season, are any of those guys even a part of this?
They might not be.
They might not
be. It could be a clean sweep.
They might.
Outside of ownership, like you said,
they might move on from all those guys. And
I mean,
usually,
Sacco's not going to be back.
No.
I feel pretty confident in saying that. Marchand is like 50-50.
Also, but if you miss the playoffs, because that's the thing with the Jacobs, and I know it's become sort of like a cliche thing, but it seems like there's a lot of truth to it. They just need you to make the playoffs, and they're good with it. They're good with Cam. They're good with the GM if you make the playoffs. You miss the playoffs, then you get on their radar, and then they're like, well, what the hell? And then that's what would cost Sweeney. So that's what you wonder. Like, is Sweeney allowed to do whatever he wants? Because he might buy in order to save his job and make the playoffs.
Well,
Let's
ask it a different way. Should he be allowed to do whatever he wants at the deadline?
Not if it's give up all your draft picks again and leave the next guy with nothing.
If there's a chance you're firing him, and I know that's what most of the people at the Garden wanted last night, if there's a chance you're firing him, then No, you shouldn't.
But this is that weird. This is that weird territory that Chaim Bloom was in at the trade deadline, where you're like, well, you left him in charge, but like, can he make a move? Can he not? And if he can't, why does he even have the job?
It's a good analogy. It feels very Chaim Bloom esque. Mm-hmm. Eddie's in the car. Says here, he's got your back, Keith. Go ahead, Eddie.
Good.
Hey, Keith. There's nothing worse than when you put out information that you can't reveal your source.
Yes.
And these people have the nerve to call you out and call you a liar. You know what's nice? It's nice to be vindicated. Mm-hmm. My wife died from cancer, and I told these people in Florida, I have a page called Apopka Moles. I told them everything with the water. They told me I was crazy. You know what? I was vindicated as well, because the town got fined $34,000. And I want to know if Courtney apologized to you yet. That's what I'd like to know.
Well, first of all, Eddie, I'm sorry that that happened to you and your wife.
Yeah,
that is a much more serious thing than this.
This is a less serious thing for sure than that. But yeah, I mean,
I could see why some would draw that connection.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Courtney has not apologized to me.
Was it any smoother today?
Yeah, I think she shooketh after finding out that I've got some legal representation coming in next week. She thought this was over. It's not over. It's maybe her problem. No, it did. So it's funny. It's honestly a coincidence that all of this happened, because Courtney not believing my scoop was annoying to me and a bit surprising to me.
I'm shooketh.
Everybody else here at the station had my back. She did not. She's Team Marchand over Team Keefe, which was.
Well, she thinks you got
disappointing.
That's not necessarily true.
It is.
She thinks you got lied to.
But I didn't.
No. But she's not. I don't think she's had Marchand's back. Calling for your job and things like that. Has she?
No. She doesn't want. She didn't take it to that degree. Yeah. But she was like, I think she believed Marchand. Like when Greg and Wiggy were like, man, he's really going on and on about this. She's like, well, it's because he's like defending his guys.
A good point on the text line, and we should have brought this up before, is Brad Marchand sounds like a guy who totally doesn't care what the media has to say at the trade deadline and doesn't care about it.
Right.
Oh, that's right. He very much cared about what Rich Keefe had to report.
Wanted a guy fired in the media.
That's a guy who sounds like he doesn't care about what the media has to say, for sure.
Like the Bruins, Marchand needs to pick a lane. Which is it? Do you care a lot or you care not at all?
617-779-7937. More your Bruins phone calls here on Jones and Keefe. We'll also get to the Patriots drafting at number 4. What's going on at the top of the draft, and what does it mean for the Pats? We'll get to it next. So that was interesting from Rap Sheet.
Real quick, disappointed this isn't the Godzilla version of the song on the Godzilla soundtrack, where it's just Brain Stew with really loud Godzilla sounds in the background. Sounds like destroying the city.
I don't.
If this song not changed, and then
I'm not familiar with that version.
So the Godzilla soundtrack, which was really famous for having the P. Diddy.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't even know if we should bring that up.
The Jimmy Page, that got a lot of headlines, but it was the Brain Stew version. This is the 1997 Matthew Broderick Godzilla, not one of the new fresh versions of it. In fact, one of them, he destroyed Fenway Park not too long ago.
Really?
Yeah, one of the new Godzillas, he destroyed
Fenway. First the town and now this. Just desecrating America's most beloved ballpark.
Which is, hell yeah. You know what this song needs? Like, what? I don't know. Godzilla. Got him.
It is better.
Isn't it much better?
Yeah.
Like, I liked the song before. Love it now. Same song.
Well, it makes more sense why he's having trouble trying to sleep. Godzilla's just ripping the town apart.
Freaking lizard monster outside my window.
I mean, it makes a lot more sense now.
Keep coming out of the ocean. He's stomping through the city.
Yeah, I would have trouble trying to sleep.
Like, just keep playing. Just keep playing.
Hey, Trey Cool, keep drumming over there, man. Keep it up.
Keep it going.
Stay on beat, Trey.
That is good stuff. But anyway, the bars and restaurants in Mobile, Alabama,
they're talking about
on backup vocals, Godzilla.
Mothra wrote this.
It's excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the Mothra remix?
No,
he's not in this one.
It's a couple albums
later.
Or
she's not in this one.
So,
Mothra, a woman.
Really?
I believe.
Yeah.
Right?
And
Mothra's the guy.
Thank you, Bill.
I have no idea.
Is that Spanish?
Mothra?
Yeah, Spanish pronunciation.
Mothra. Got it. That makes sense. Okay. Well, now it's right there.
It's right there for you.
The bars in Mobile. Apparently, that's how you pronounce it, by the way. Not Mobile.
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 Mobile, Alabama.
Rap Sheet is saying it.
Top of the draft.
They're buzzing about the Titans could go maybe Carter, Travis Hunter at one.
Mm-hmm.
But in what I think is a great scenario for the Patriots, quarterbacks, what Rap Sheet is hearing.
Two, three.
going 2-3 to the Browns and the Giants, which...
This is why I was not afraid.
This is what, Keith, you were not shooketh.
I wasn't.
When it came out that the Titans weren't going to pass on a generational player, which could still, by the way, be gamesmanship.
Yes.
But you weren't shooketh by that because you're like, the quarterbacks are still going to go highly.
No, you already screwed yourself week 18. You went from first to fourth, so now you're at the mercy of the three teams in front of you. There is, by all accounts, two quarterbacks that are going to go pretty high. But you never know. Between now and April, a third quarterback could legit jump up into this conversation because all three teams in front of the Patriots need a quarterback. The Patriots are the only one that don't in the top four. Doesn't mean the Titans, Browns, and Giants are all going to take them, but right now the Titans would, what, trot back Will Levis. The Browns have nobody because Deshaun Watson's hurt again, and he sucks anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are the Giants doing at quarterback?
They can't run it back with Daniel Jones anymore. He's gone. No. So
they got nothing.
Good question.
So they probably have to take Ward or Sanders, and I would think the Browns would as well. So now you're left to, okay, maybe you really want Travis Hunter, and that's who the Titans take, or maybe you really want Abdul Hunter, and that's who the Titans take. But I think it's a pretty good consolation prize either way. I would stay right now. I would stay on the board at four if one of those two is available, and just take one of those two.
Yeah. So I'm the same way. If you're getting one of those guys at four, fine. I think my real answer is trade down. But say you're picking.
Yeah.
I would take Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, assuming one's there.
Mm-hmm.
If the quarterbacks drop for whatever reason, my guy remains Will Johnson out of Michigan, the cornerback.
Yep.
But I think the real answer is try to trade down and get a few more assets. But I wouldn't be surprised if a quarterback comes out of nowhere, as you just said. We clipped it out, but Rap Sheet went on to say that Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss, probably the quarterback getting the most buzz. You're rolling your eyes.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of, well, I actually like the top two quarterbacks, any other QB in this class, really. But just know.
I think Milroe could move up the board.
Oh, Milroe would be my number three. I don't know that I'm taking him certainly in the top five. I don't even know if I'd take him in the first round, but I don't hate him as a prospect.
And run and throw. He's built like a brick.
I mean, that's a
that
big
our guy,
thing
yeah.
in his favor. That's a scouting report on Jalen Milroe.
Good breakdown.
So just know that quarterbacks come out of nowhere. Anthony Richardson a few years ago came out of nowhere to go fourth overall. Even Bo Nix, and this is what Rap Sheet went on to say, he was a second rounder at this time of year.
Oh, last year at this time, I thought legitimately the Patriots could draft Marvin Harrison and Bo Nix for their first two picks.
And so the guys rise up the board, which would be a great, great scenario for the Patriots, so don't rule that out. If they're trying to collect extra assets, though, it turns out they have a guy on the team that is highly sought after. This is Greg Bedard at the Senior Bowl, says teams are very interested in one of the Patriots' two quarterbacks, according to Robert Kraft, Joe Milton.
There's buzz that the Patriots are, I wouldn't say he's on the block right now. I would say that the Patriots are open to thinking about it. And we'll have to see whether they go through their draft evaluation, whether they see a guy, because you're going to need to replace Milton. So do they see that guy or not? And what do you think you can get? And is it better that you keep him for another year, let Josh McDaniels develop him a little bit more, and then all of a sudden you're... I would say probably the trade compensation range right now for Joe Milton is a third to a fifth round pick. I think it's on the upper side, but do you hold out another year hoping to get a second? Also, you need to evaluate the quarterback class. I think part of the reason why the Patriots might be contemplating that right now is because this draft class for quarterbacks stinks.
Okay, so that last point I think is fair.
Yeah. If you get a third round for him, you do it right now.
Okay.
Open to thinking about it.
His point, I would not wait for that second that he's talking about.
No.
If you want to move him, if you really don't believe in him, you trade him now because teams are desperate because the quarterback class stinks.
I don't know how his trade value goes up if he doesn't play a snap next year. There's always the, Drake May goes down and he has to play a bunch of games. And then it's like Matt Castle, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Schaub. There's been examples of backups playing and then getting second round picks or whatever. But if Drake May plays the whole season, I don't know. You're like, well, take our word for it. He looked good in practice. Like, I don't think you're going to get much more.
And again, supply and demand.
Yeah.
Right now, teams are looking at it
strike.
Going, we don't love these quarterbacks. So look, if you like Joe Milton.
Third rounder.
If you like Joe Milton, and I liked what I saw, and you say he can be a backup.
A rocket for an arm.
Drake May got injured a couple of times this past year. We want security at the position, and we believe in him. Well, then don't trade him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't really believe in him, and this is a new coaching staff and maybe a full-on new regime, if they don't believe in him, I would trade now. Supply and demand, try to capitalize on it right now. And it sounds like there's a market for him, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. So you can jump in on the Patriots at the top of the draft. Could things shake out well? What would you do with Joe Milton? Sounds like teams are interested. 617-779-7937, plus all your Bruins phone calls hanging out. We'll get back to the Bs as well. And coming up next, we've already compared Brady and Mahomes, Reed and Belichick, Kelsey and Gronk. Let's line up the Patriots dynasty versus the Chiefs dynasty. Is KC really close to competing with the Patriots dynasty? We'll get to that next.